The chiming of the second bell began. I stood up, dusting my bottom as the first, second, third, and fourth graders crowded up the stairs into the hallway. Little man flashed proudly by, his face and hands clean, and his black shoes shining again. I glanced down at my own shoes, powdered red, and raising my right foot, rubbed it against the back of my left leg, then reversed the procedure. As the last gong of the bell reverberated across the compound, I swooped up my pencils and notebook and ran inside. A hallway extended from the front to the back door of the building. On either side of the hallway were two doorways, both leading into the same large room, which was divided into two classrooms by a heavy canvas curtain. The second and third grades were on the left, the first and fourth grades on the right. I hurried to the rear of the building, turned to the right, and slid into a third row bench occupied by Gracie Pearson and Alma Scott.
"You can't sit here," objected Gracie. "I'm saving it for Mary Lou."
I glanced back at Mary Lou Welliver, depositing her lunch pail on a shelf in the back of the room, and said, "Not anymore, you ain't." Miss Daisy Crocker, yellow and bug-eyed, glared down at me from the middle of the room with a look that said, "So, it's you, Cassie Logan." Then she pursed her lips and drew the curtain along the rusted iron rod and tucked it into a wide loop in the back wall. With the curtain drawn back, the first graders gazed quizzically at us. Little man sat by the window, his hands folded, patiently waiting for Miss Crocker to speak. Mary Lou nudged me. "That's my seat, Cassie Logan."
"Mary Lou Welliver," Miss Crocker called primly, "have a seat."
"Yes, ma'am," said Mary Lou, eyeing me with a look of pure hate before turning away. Miss Crocker walked stiffly to her desk, which was set on a tiny platform and piled high with bulky objects covered by a tarpaulin. She rapped the desk with a ruler, although the room was perfectly still, and said, "Welcome, children, to Great Faith Elementary School." Turning slightly so that she stared squarely at the left side of the room, she continued, "To all of you fourth graders, it's good to have you in my class. I'll be expecting many good and wonderful things from you." Then addressing the right side of the room, she said, "And to all our little first grade friends only today starting on the road to knowledge and education, may your tiny feet find the pathways of learning steady and forever before you." Already bored, I stretched my right arm on the desk and rested my head in my upraised hand. Miss Crocker smiled mechanically, then rapped on her desk again. "Now, little ones," she said, still talking to the first grade, "your teacher, Miss Davis, has been held up in Jackson for a few days, so I'll have the pleasure of sprinkling your little minds with the first rays of knowledge." She beamed down upon them, as if she expected to be applauded for this bit of news. Then, with a swoop of her large eyes to include the fourth graders, she went on, "Now, since there's only one of me, we shall have to sacrifice for the next few days. We shall work, work, work. But we shall have to work like little Christian boys and girls and share, share, share. Now, are we willing to do that?"
"Yes, Miss Crocker," the children chorused.
But I remained silent. I never did approve of group responses. Adjusting my head in my hand, I sighed heavily, my mind on the burning of the berries.
"Cassie Logan?"
I looked up, startled.
"Cassie Logan?"
"Yes, ma'am?" I jumped up quickly to face Miss Crocker.
"Aren't you willing to work and share?"
"Yes."
"Then say so."
"Yes," I murmured, sliding back into my seat as Mary Lou, Gracie, and Alma giggled. Here it was only 5 minutes into the new school year, and already I was in trouble. By 10 o'clock, Miss Crocker had rearranged our seating and written our names on her seating chart. I was still sitting beside Gracie and Alma, but we had been moved from the third to the first row in front of a small, pot-bellied stove. Although being eyeball to eyeball with Miss Crocker was nothing to look forward to, The prospect of being warm once the cold weather set in was nothing to be sneezed at either, so I resolved to make the best of my rather dubious position. Now Miss Crocker made a startling announcement. This year, we would all have books. Everyone gasped, for most of the students had never handled a book at all, besides the family Bible. I admit that even I was somewhat excited. Although Mama had several books, I had never had one of my very own. "Now, we're very fortunate to get these readers," Miss Crocker explained while we eagerly awaited the unveiling. "The county superintendent of schools himself brought these books down here for our use, and we must take extra good care of them." She moved toward her desk. "So, let's all promise that we'll take the best care possible of these new books." She stared down, expecting our response. "All right, all together, let's repeat. We promise to take good care of our new books." She looked sharply at me as she spoke. "We promise to take good care of our new books." "Fine," Miss Crocker beamed, then proudly threw back the tarpaulin. Sitting so close to the desk, I could see that the covers of the books, a motley red, were badly worn, and that the gray edges of the pages had been marred by pencils, crayons, and ink. My anticipation at having my own book ebbed to a sinking disappointment. But Miss Crocker continued to beam as she called each fourth grader to her desk and, recording a number in her roll book, handed him or her a book. As I returned from my trip to her desk, I noticed the first graders anxiously watching the disappearing pile. Miss Crocker must have noticed them too, for as I sat down, she said, "Don't worry, little ones. There are plenty of readers for you, too. See, they're on Miss Davis's desk." Wide eyes turned to the covered teacher's platform directly in front of them, and an audible sigh of relief swelled in the room.